choosing this day whom we will serve. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
Grateful that you have tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. And on this Friday session of Abounding Grace, I want to talk to you today about confessions and creeds and what we believe and why we believe them. And I was thinking a little bit today about how people approach this. For instance, you know, they don't ask anymore when it comes to the church, what does this church believe? Every church has a statement of faith. So if you were to go on any church's website and look for their statement of faith, you want to look for what they believe, what they confess together. What somebody believes is very important today, isn't it? One of the challenges today is not so much what is said as what is not said. Everything today in the Christian faith has been so reduced, has been so trimmed down. The content of what we have anymore, we just don't know where people stand on issues. And that was one of the reasons that when the Reformation happened, Protestants put together creeds and confessions. Most people today, you'll hear throw around the phrase loosely, no creed but Christ, or we only have the Bible. And that sounds really good, but so say the Jehovah's Witnesses, and so say the Mormons. So who's right? The reason that Protestants put down and gave us creeds and confessions, especially confessions, were to help us understand what are the core truths of the Christian faith, summarized for us, showing us what are those things that are absolutely important that you must hold to, and those things that are orthodox and those things that are not. So when a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon knocks on your door and proceeds to deny the deity of Jesus Christ, we can say, wait a minute, our whole history, we have many years before us of the way that the Holy Spirit has worked in the life of God's people. And we've always believed this about Jesus. We've always believed that he is true God. We've always believed that he is true God of true God, that he is eternal, the eternal Son of God, that he was not made, that he was of one substance with the Father, Nicene Creed. These things are very important because they formulate for us the crucials and the basics of the Christian faith. It's interesting when you have people who finally sort of get over this roadblock, this view that the confessions are the old dogmas of the church and they only promote a sort of head religion and they don't promote a heart religion. When you get over all of that and people will give an honest look at what is written down, they realize, wow, I never knew this existed. The Heidelberg Catechism was written in 1563 and it was put together in question and answer format to help people understand the basics of the Christian faith, because what they were finding was, especially as Protestantism was spreading throughout Europe, people didn't know the basics of the Christian faith. Roman Catholics had kept the Bible from people for years. It could only be read in Latin, and it could only be handled by the priests, and nobody had a Bible they could open and read. People didn't know. All they got is what they were force-fed by a church that manipulated the scriptures for their own ends. It was an awful time of church history. Reformation broke out. People said, let's get the Bibles back into the hands of the people so they can know God's word. And then they put together these confessions to say, summarize all the major doctrines of the Christian faith. Well, today I want to read the first question and answer of the Heidelberg Catechism. This catechism was based on the book of Romans, and I want you to listen to the first question and answer, and really listen to how beautiful this is. What is your only comfort in life and in death? That I, with body and soul, both in life and in death, am not my own, but belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who with his precious blood is fully satisfied for all my sins. and has redeemed me from the power of the devil, and so preserves me that without the will of my Father in heaven, not a hair can fall from my head. Yes, all things must work together for my salvation. Wherefore, by his Holy Spirit, he also assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for him. Notice the first question of this document begins with, what is your only comfort? What is your only comfort? This was something the Lord always wanted to have spoken to his people. Comfort, comfort my people, saith the Lord. Speak peace to Jerusalem. In question and answer 52, we even have the question, how does Christ's return to judge the living and the dead comfort you? That's the most scary doctrine for people, that Christ is coming again to judge the living and the dead. And here he says, this is a doctrine, the Heidelberg says, that it's a comfort to us. Why? Well, it goes on to say that the Lord Jesus has stood in our place, that he has fully satisfied all the demands of the law for us by having become a curse for us. I mean, listen to this. What comfort is it to you that Christ shall come again to judge the living and the dead? That in all my sorrows and persecutions, when I lift up my head, I look for the same one who has before offered himself for me to the judgment of God and removed from me all curse, to come again as judge from heaven, who shall cast all his and my enemies into everlasting condemnation, but shall take me with all his chosen ones to himself into heavenly joy and glory. That's no mindless, heartless thing, is it? It's a beautiful statement of what we believe. So notice in the beginning part of this Lord's Day 1, they were written in 52 Lord's Days to cover every day of every week of the year, 52 weeks. The first question is, what is your only comfort in life and in death? And the first thing it begins with is purchase. You're not your own. Isn't that beautiful? That the Lord told us over and over again, especially in Romans chapter 6, that we've been bought at a price. We have now become slaves, not of unrighteousness, but of Jesus Christ. You know how many people are gripped in their sin and they can't get out? And the first announcement of the gospel, the first thing that this confession, this catechism wants to show us is, you're free. You're free. You were ransomed from all the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. You were bought with a price. And then notice what it says. Not only were you bought, but he is fully satisfied for all your sins. The believer's sins, every single one has been paid for. Past, present, and future. Amazing truth, isn't it? And not just that, you're set free from the tyranny of the devil. The Bible tells us the whole world lies under his sway. And the Lord is announcing to us in his gospel, you're free. So the first point here that's brought out is that you're purchased. And what's he going to do for you? He's going to preserve you. I love this. He so preserves me that without the will of my Father in heaven, not a hair can fall from my head. Yes, all things must work together for my salvation. Do you get that? Two things. How's he preserving you? Do you know Jesus said that every single hairs of your head, every single one of them are numbered? You know how many hairs we have? Maybe some less. Every single one, even if you've lost them. The Lord did not let one fall to the ground apart from his will. That is an amazing statement, isn't it, of his care. And this is what the catechism is picking up. This is how he knows us. He helps us. He's so intimately involved with us. He's even numbered the hairs of our head, white or black. It's an amazing thing. That's how much he cares. And not just that, but the second thing the catechism says is that nothing happens by chance. He says, all things must work together for my salvation. You know, everything in this life, good and bad, hard and difficult, and everything that happens to us under the sun, We believe, as Christians, all of it is being worked out together for good, for our salvation. God turns it all into good. We don't see it when we're going through it. We don't see the big picture. But the Lord has made that promise. And we have to live in that promise, don't we? So two things of preservation. He is protecting us. He's preserving us, isn't he? Working everything out for good that his people would be saved. And then what's the final thing? So we have three P's here in the Heidelberg Catechism in question answer one. Purchase, preservation, and I love the last one, power. Listen to this. Wherefore, by his Holy Spirit, he also assures me of eternal life and makes me heartily willing and ready from now on to live for him. The Reformers had a good understanding of the Holy Spirit. They understood the work of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, that he was given to be a comforter and help to us. And how does he help us? Did you notice what's stated here? Two ways. He's ever working to assure us that we belong to the Lord. Maybe that's one thing that we struggle with. We hear all these doctrines of the Christian faith and we say, well, how do we know that it belongs to us? How do we know that it's for us? You know, the Lord didn't leave you alone on that. He gave you a spirit. What does the spirit do? He bears witness with our spirit that we are sons of God. And when our hearts condemn us, he's greater than our hearts and knows all things. He is given to help us, comfort us, assure us that we belong to the Lord. And you know, there's a confidence that the Holy Spirit gives to the child of God as he grows more in the faith. It's a beautiful working of him in our lives. And what's the last thing Heidelberg says here the Holy Spirit does for us? He makes us wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for him. Do you ever think of that? The Holy Spirit is working ever in us to produce a desire in us that we would want to walk in the Lord's ways. And what else? He actually gives us the power and the strength to do it, to live for him. This is the comforting Christian life. This is how good he is. And what I tried to do on Abounding Grace today was show you and get over this idea that all the old catechisms and creeds of the Christian church are harmful to a heart religion. That is so far from the truth. This is about as heartwarming as it gets. This is as comforting. When you see a loved one die and need perspective, you turn to this and say, what is my only comfort in life and in death that I'm not my own, but I belong body and soul in life and in death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood and has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. And he also watches over me that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. Because I belong to him, Christ by his Holy Spirit assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for him. That's the Heidelberg Catechism 1563. We can get copies to you. You can find that on the internet. It's all over the place. A beautiful document of the Christian faith. And I trust that you would be blessed if you sat down each night and read through this. So may we all learn to know more what we believe and why we believe it. Knowing what we believe is crucial to our well-being as Christians, for knowing what we believe leads us to a good and healthy and right knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has given himself for us to save us from all of our sins. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries. We are a listener-supported program, and we ask today humbly both for your prayerful and financial support. Write to us at Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington 98264. And that website is agradio.org. Don't hesitate to go and download all of these podcasts that are there for you. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.